What's up and welcome into a fresh week of Locked On Bulls. It's Monday, October 18th. I'm Matt. That's Big Dave. Up ahead on today's program, we're going to be breaking down the Bulls preseason finale, a win over the Grizzlies to go 4-0 in preseason, what we liked, what we didn't like. We'll also update y'all with the latest roster specifics from over the weekend, a few more roster moves as the Bulls pare down their final roster. NBA regular season starts this week, y'all. We got a fresh Locked On Bulls for you. Let's go.
You are Locked On Bulls, your daily podcast on the Chicago Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Here are your hosts, Matt Peck and Big Dave Watson.
What's up and welcome into Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'm Matt Peck. You can follow me on Twitter at Bulls_Peck. You can follow my co-host Big Dave at Bow, B-A-W-L Sports. You can follow us at Locked On Bulls. Email us, LockedOnBulls@gmail.com, or shoot us a text or leave us a voicemail at 331-979-1369 for our weekly mailbag episodes. Big Dave, we got to kick things off with a tip of the cap and congratulations to WNBA champs. Candace Parker, the hometown kid in the Chicago Sky, win the WNBA Finals with a victory in Game 4 yesterday. That was what I needed to move my brain space beyond the Bears-Packers same shit, different day outcome. It was a bad start to Sunday, but the Sky made it a great finish to Sunday. How are you, my friend?
I am doing absolutely wonderful and beautiful, Matt, and you're right. It was a terrible start, a predictable start, but a terrible start to the Sunday. But yeah, what the Sky, man. Like this whole playoffs, I'm talking about they're a six seed. They're the lowest seed. They were 16-16 during the regular season. They was just still figuring stuff out, and they figured it out at the right time. And Candace Parker, amazing, bringing that championship home. But my goodness, Kalia Copper, she was
Finals MVP.
Deservedly so. She was the best player the entire playoffs. I mean, the entire playoffs. Super athletic, and she credits Candace Parker with a lot of her resurgence and a lot of her game of where it is now. She credits Candace of being on her and being in her, constantly telling her that she's the best. I'm the one. You should be doing this. So her and Vandersloot was amazing as well. So, shout out to Quigley,
Anytime they needed a good bucket, a good possession, there was Vandersloot running the offense like a conductor, just beautifully. And, hey, Dwayne Wade. That's how it's done, Dwayne Wade. Mm-hmm. Hometown kid coming back to Chicago towards the end of their professional career. Mm-hmm. Want to bring some pride back to Chicago. Candace Parker just put her money where her mouth was on that.
Yeah,
I ain't see Dwayne Wade lead the Bulls to no title at the end of his career.
Yeah, you got that right, Matt. Did not lead them to a title. Hey, who was the Nico on the Sky, I wonder? Who was the Felicio on the Sky? I don't know. I gotta check.
I mean, give me Copper, Vandersloot, and Candace in a 3-on-3 over the Bulls 3 alphas any day. I'm taking them.
I'm not mad at you. They got the hardware. How can I be mad at that? Like, they got the hardware. Yes, congratulations.
All right, man. So congratulations to the Sky. Happy for them. Hey, Tuesday, Millennium Park. There's a celebration. Ooh. I'm sure our pal Fred will be there and be confused why everybody isn't wearing Bulls gear. I heard there was a rally. So moving on, we got to watch the Bulls complete their preseason with a perfect 4-0 record. Big Dave, you know, I was at the UC on Friday night.
Yes.
Lucky enough to get some tickets from one of our loyal listeners. Shout out again to our nice Locked Up Bulls listener who gave me the tickets. Mm-hmm. It was okay. First of all, it was awesome being at the UC for a Bulls game. Mm-hmm. I had gone to one of the last Blackhawks games of the regular season last year when they finally opened up a couple of games at the end of the season. But this was my first time at the UC since you and John and I were doing an Outsiders episode from the stadium, and it was that Bulls-Mavs game, and it was like, you know, what I think March 10th, March 9th, like a couple of days before the league shut down. Being back at the United Center with a bunch of fans who were stoked to be there, man, it was the first time in a long time, but I was watching those, you know, starting lineups, the intros, the giant video board. I was taken back to a place of like childhood flash memories and goosebumps, man. It was awesome.
I'm so happy for you, man. And you know the reason you got that feeling, not because you haven't been in the USA in such a long time, but because this team is good. That's why he had that feeling. I promise you, man. But I'm so glad you got to see it, man. And I'm sure it's going to be a sight to behold October 28th. We're going to check that out and watch your man Joe Kim Noah's retirement ceremony.
It wasn't a capacity United Center crowd, but there were a lot of people there for a preseason game, and they were into it. The fans were into it. They were appreciating good plays on both sides of the ball. And so let's start here, Dave.
Sure.
I know that you mentioned that your favorite thing about their game on Friday night was it was a back and forth game. Mm-hmm. The Bulls played from behind for a fair amount, going toe to toe with Memphis's starters. And then early in the fourth quarter, where the Bulls are still trying to come back into this game, and I believe they were trailing, Billy Donovan just said, "Oh, starters, y'all played 30 minutes. All right, have a seat." And it was the second unit that completed the comeback and got the win. Yes. But you were a fan of the fact that Donovan was like, "It's preseason. It was preseason."
There were two things that were my favorite things, and we'll get into the second thing later. But Matt, I'm talking about. I was sitting at home watching that, and when I looked on the court and I didn't see any starting five from the Chicago Bulls, I said, "Yes! Yes! Yes!" And I'm watching Memphis, and they got Ja Morant still out there. You know, and they got, a couple of their other – they got Bane still out there. Like, a couple of their starters are still out there playing against our bench, and our bench is doing a pretty good job also, by the way. But they were playing against our scrubs, and I was just like, this is how it's supposed to be. That is common sense. It was great. And you could see it on Zach's face. He didn't want to come out the game because he had just started getting hot. You know what I mean? You could see it on his face. He's like, "Oh, I didn't want to come out of this game, man. Dang." But you know what, Zach? It was preseason. It did not matter at all. I saw everything I needed to see. I wanted them to sit down from the first quarter on. I was good. Like, I was like, fine, I'm good. I don't need to see anything else. But the fact that he looked and he let them get that intensity, and he let them, get that feeling of being in that position in the fourth quarter when you're battling a good basketball team and it's back and forth. It was very good for that team to get that feeling and know what that feels like going forward. He let them get a taste, but he said, "Why give you the whole meal when this ain't the meal? This is appetizers, man. Don't fill up on appetizers," is what he said. "Don't fill up on bread. The meal is coming. Don't worry about it." I loved it so much, man.
Yeah. I was glad that the starters played as long as they did, because I thought, compared to twice against the Cavs and a Pelicans team that was resting everybody, this would be a good, some minimal kind of measuring stick for, okay, what we saw in the first three games, what of that was real? And what if that was just like, "Oh, we're playing bums in the preseason." Mm-hmm. And you saw, this Memphis team presented a greater challenge for the Bulls. The Bulls were down after the first quarter, gave up 35 first quarter points. Some of that I attributed to the Bulls missing good looks that they probably should have made. DeRozan especially was cold from the field in that first half. Yeah. And also just some sloppy defense. And I want to talk about that a little bit further in our next segment. But I'm glad that Donovan understood, hey, we only have four preseason games and these, training camp practices to build up some kind of cohesion and chemistry with this group. So I'm going to use as much of it as I need to, but I'm not going to take it so far as, say, our old pal Tibbs, who had Randall and Barrett out there in the final, the waning moments of the Knicks preseason game, playing 40 minutes, because we have bigger goals in mind. There are bigger goals ahead for this team that involve keeping their starting five healthy and one of the best starting fives in the Eastern Conference all season long. So, and the other thing, kudos to the second unit and my God, Alex Caruso, I believe was also trying to, Billy Donovan was trying to get Caruso off the floor too, late in that fourth quarter. And Caruso just said, "No, I'm going to stay out here and I'm going to help these kids win this game."
Yeah.
And Caruso was everywhere and he was leading that team in the fourth quarter when they made that decisive run that won the game. That was really cool to see.
You know what? No, I just want to know, Matt, because I know what it felt like watching on TV and, Adam Amin's reaction to it. What was it like though? That whole sequence when Caruso gets the dunk and then the next play, Ayo makes the great defensive play, and then they go down and get the layup, and then they come back and make another defense. What was that whole sequence like in the USA? Like, how was that?
I mean, it was awesome. There were oohs and ahs. And then I was on my feet. I was on my feet a lot in the fourth quarter, and I was not the only one.
Yeah.
I think there was a collective appreciation of Bulls fans at the UC Friday night of whether it was the first unit or the second unit. And then, you know, by the end, it was definitely just the second unit. Just playing competent basketball and having a winning decisive run in a fourth quarter of what had been a tight game all night, because Bulls fans for the last several years and several seasons have been accustomed to exactly the opposite. The Bulls play a team even for three quarters or three and a half quarters, and then they are on the losing end of a 15-2 run, a 20-4 run, and they come out the losing side, of the final score. Even though it was a preseason game, just seeing the Bulls have a span of minutes in the fourth quarter where they took a game over, I think that there was a collective appreciation in the UC for, oh my God, we just watched the Bulls go on a run in the fourth quarter that won them the game?
Yeah.
What is this?
Brand new.
What is this sorcery?
See, that's what I like, because it didn't matter if it was preseason or whatever. It just felt good to see that, have that run and get that feeling, get that appetizer for the main course coming up, man.
Oh, the main course is so close, Big Dave. We're going to break down this game further. I have some thoughts, especially on the defensive end, that I want to get your thoughts on,
sure,
too, Dave.
Sure.
First, though, want to tell y'all, you know where to go if you want to play, any kinds of varieties of fantasy football, mm-hmm. fantasy basketball. Mm-hmm. We've told you guys about Sleeper if you want to do the weekly stuff. But what about daily fantasy? Well, have you heard about Prize Picks? Because there's your answer. Prize Picks is daily fantasy made easy. I love this, and I know you will too. Prize Picks has the best NBA DFS prop game on the market. Prize Picks offers more NBA props than any other DFS prop operator and offers all the superstar players as well as bench players, only recording a handful of minutes each game. All of the users of Prize Picks that deposit and use promo code NBA will receive a 100% instant deposit match up to $100. Again, that's with promo code NBA. You pick 2 to 5 players and an over-under on their projections, and you can win up to 10x on any entry. And it's just you versus the projected numbers. It's that simple. Prize Picks allows mixed sport entries too. So if LeBron and the Lakers are playing on Monday night, mm-hmm. and say Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs are playing Monday Night Football, mm-hmm. you can take the over on LeBron's points that night combined with the under on Mahomes' touchdowns, wow. in the same entry. Super cool.
Yeah.
Use the award-winning app on both the App Store and Google Play. Entries can be made in 60 seconds or less. It's really that easy. Prize Picks is safe and offers fast withdrawals. So don't hesitate. Check out prizepicks.com and use promo code NBA, or go to your App Store and download the app today to get that 100% instant deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks is daily fantasy made easy.
That's awesome. Now, guys, if you like pain and like sports pain like I do, because I am a Chicago Bears fan, you want to see as much Chicago Bears games as you possibly can. But at the same time, you know, you want to watch TV shows. And at the same time, you want to watch highlights because the NBA is about to come up. And you want to do all this. And while you want to do it by not getting off your couch, you want to sit there and not juggle remotes. You want to not have the neighbors log in to do it. You don't want to do that no more. Well, I'll tell you what you do. You go get yourself DirecTV Stream, okay? It brings all your live TV and on-demand favorites together like never before. So you can watch your favorite sports, your favorite movies, and all your shows in one place. That means no more juggling that remote, ladies and gentlemen, and no need to buy another device ever again. And the best part, there is no annual contract. Oh! So get rid of that clutter. Get rid of the confusion and get it together with DirecTV Stream. You can learn more at DirecTV.com. That is DirecTV.com. Compatible device required. Content varies by package.
All right, some further thoughts on this final preseason game. And I want to start on the defensive end, Dave, because that's what I came into the UC Friday night watching. I wanted to, you know, have a close eye on what the Bulls were doing defensively, because I thought Ja Morant and all of his weapons were going to be hands down the toughest test to try to see if this Bulls defense is legit or not as far as their preseason slate. And I saw some good and some bad. Let's start with the good, though.
Sure.
We were talking on an episode, I think Thursday last week, of could this Bulls defense slow down Ja Morant and Lonzo Ball. I mean, like, Ja Morant still had himself a pretty efficient night. Mm-hmm. He got to the free throw a lot, but it was only 7-12 at the free throw line. Ja did have 6 turnovers on the night, and in particular, and it's not the first time we've seen this, mm-hmm. whether, you know, back when he was playing with New Orleans for Ja's first couple seasons in the NBA, I think Ja's length and defensive intelligence have always given him maybe some of the best odds at slowing down Ja Morant when it comes to anybody in this league trying to slow down Ja Morant.
True.
And you saw him contain Ja Morant on a fair number of occasions last night.
Yeah, it wasn't surprising to see. Like you said, Matt, like, you've seen it pretty much his whole career when he plays against Ja. He bothers him. He gets on Ja's nerves, man. I don't want to say he's his kryptonite, because I don't think any great player has a kryptonite, but you do have guys that you kind of struggle against. And he is definitely one of those guys he's struggles against and does not like playing. And so I know he was very happy to see Lonzo move over to the East. So now he does not have to worry about that anymore. But yeah, like, it was just really good to see that, because Ja, you know how I feel about Ja. You know how the league feels about Ja as far as him being one of the best, not just point guards, one of the best players in this league. So to see him go up against Lonzo and Lonzo get the better of him, and Lonzo to do it in a Bulls jersey, just really made me feel good going forward as far as other great point guards we have to play against in this league.
Yeah. Another shout out to Caruso, who I was tweeting about this. A lot of people were tweeting about it. The Bulls had like that open practice that they broadcast on their YouTube channel last week.
Yeah.
And there was that one moment in particular where the Bulls were working on their weak side rotations, you know, their X rotations on defense. And like, Caruso just like spoke up loudly over chatter among what was going on in the court and clarified, like, guys, all you got to do is say X, X, X. We're, you know, we're worried about this defensive rotation.
Yeah.
Instead of trying to say a bunch of different ways, just always say X, X, X. It's that simple. And then on Friday night, you see, and I think shout out to Stefan Noah. He put out the video of it later Friday night. But there was an inbounds play that Memphis had from the baseline under the Bulls basket. And Caruso called out the play. He recognized what Memphis was running. It was a pick-the-picker play, a screen-the-screener play, whatever. Called it out and then pointed everybody in every direction and said, let's switch here. I got the guy cutting to the hoop. Mm-hmm. And, you know, whether it was DeMar or Zach, I can't remember. You watch the guy, you know, the inbounder who might bleed out for a three. Mm-hmm. He called the whole play and forced a jump ball on the guy who was trying to cut to the hoop. And then he won the jump ball. Alex Caruso's presence on this team, leadership, IQ, and defense.
Yeah.
My God, like, that guy is going to be worth every penny they gave him.
You know what was funny, Matt? When I watched that video, you know, of the practice, because of course we did. We sat and watched the whole 20 minutes. Of course we did. We're Bulls fans. When I watched it, Matt, and after he said that, when he told him about the XXX, the two things I really liked. The first thing was Billy Donovan not saying a word. Just sitting there and letting his players do player stuff and figure that thing out and say, and the only thing I heard Billy say was, you guys got that? That's it.
Yeah.
It's all Billy said. Yeah. It's all Billy said. That was beautiful to me, man. Just to allow your players the freedom, you know what I'm saying, to fix it as you go. You know what I'm saying? To make those adjustments themselves. Because like he says, they're the ones that's out on the court. They're the ones that has to do it. So, you know, what works for you? And you're seeing it in action. And I just really enjoyed seeing a coach be that okay with somebody else taking the reins and pointing out something that he himself didn't see. The other thing I liked real slyly was Zach LaVine when he said that, because he just started smiling. As soon as he did that, he just started smiling. And for me, that smile said, ah. Like, yes, thank you. It's some competency here. I know he was probably laughing at other things, you know what I'm saying, that might have been internal. But for me, that's
right.
That's kind of how I took it. Like, look at Zach. Look at how happy this man is that it's some competency out here on this team, man. He's just happy. We got a guy who's calling out plays for us, man. And what happened the very next time? Zach was the first one. XXX. Zach was the first one in somebody's face saying that, man. So, yeah, I really enjoyed seeing those two things.
And look, shout out to Zach LaVine also, who was credited with a steal and a block on Friday night. He has been very active getting his hands in passing lanes. Mm-hmm. But what I saw from him Friday night, even perhaps as important as that, was his rotations on the weak side mm-hmm. and on the baseline. Because mm-hmm. that is where Zach, I think, has gotten lost the most and where his label of a bad defensive player still remains because people are starting to give him more credit for his on-ball defense, which has gotten better.
Yeah.
And he is more tuned in and aware to create some takeaways when he does read plays and read passes and get his hands in pass. But his backside rotations are still sloppy at times. Mm-hmm. And I saw a mixed bag of that from Zach on Friday. There were a few times where Memphis would be running a pick and roll or something on the left side of the court, and Vooch would come over to confront whoever it was who made their way to the rim, and Zach would come over and help the guy that Vooch just left to protect the rim. Zach was doing a good job of being, like the helper guy on the weak side. Mm-hmm. At the same time, I also caught him a couple of times ball watching on backdoor cuts.
Yeah,
and
you're right.
And you're like, Zach, you're so close. You're so close to being a guy that we can confidently say is carrying his weight on the defensive end.
Yeah.
But seeing a mixed bag of good and bad when it comes to that kind of stuff from Zach, not just on ball defense, but are you paying attention when you're on the weak side? Are you letting your guy, make a cut without you recognize? We're seeing less of that and seeing more examples of Zach knowing what to do when he's playing defense off the ball. So I'm encouraged by that.
And you should be. I mean, we never expected Zach to be a world beater here on defense. Right. But we wanted him to improve and we wanted him to put in effort. And we started seeing that effort a couple years ago because, remember when Kendall Gill was telling us about it when he was working with Zach LaVine in the offseason. And you remember how joyous and how happy Kendall was when he actually did something he showed him in the offseason. Right. He's like, he did the move. You see that? He did the move. Like, so that he was putting in that work to try to be better on the defensive end. So now having somebody like Caruso out there who could communicate it to you means he will be. He's going to have plays like that. Like, yeah, we expect that. I'm not happy about it. Nobody's like, oh, we hope he's bad defensively. We're not saying that. We just know what it's to be expected, but we want to see more good than bad, like Matt was alluding to here. And I like, because I think you and I keep saying the one thing we want to see about Zach is we think his steals will improve because of all the good defense around him. So now mm-hmm. he'll be able to cheat a little bit and maybe get another steal when you're trying to, out on the perimeter. Those are the good steals that the good guards get. You know what I'm saying? Those deals that lead to those breakaways because you're so clamped up in a corner. You're just trying to get it to somebody. Here comes Zach, steal, dunk, highlight reel. We're awesome. So, yeah, I think we'll see more of those, Matt, going forward. But you're right. Like, he did fall asleep on a couple of those rotations, man. And you were like, dude, Zach, no, where are you? You like, get over right. to you, man, yeah. and do that, man. So, yeah, no, absolutely. You're absolutely dead on.
It's work in progress with Zach. But like I said, I am encouraged. I have to call out DeRozan for his defense on Friday night.
Fair.
Like, I'm not worried about DeRozan's 6 of 17 night from the field. Right. And I saw some Bulls fans on Twitter being like, oh, my God, DeRozan's, like, playing hero ball. Like, he's jacking up all these shots. He's ball hogging and he's not making anything. And he's getting cooked on defense. Mm-hmm. I'm like, okay, DeRozan's one of the most efficient mid-range shooters in the NBA.
Fact.
Don't worry about one bad night shooting mm-hmm. because I didn't see DeRozan take a shot, maybe one or two. Mm-hmm. But for the most part, all night, I didn't see DeRozan take a shot I didn't like. Mm-hmm. It was like mid-range. And he was missing bunnies like close mid-range where he got a good look coming off of a screen mm-hmm. or creating space ISO. Like, they were good shots. He just had a bad shooting night. That's fine. What's not fine, and I think Bulls fans all feared was coming, is the, like, where are you going in transition defense situations? Where are you going, DeMar? Or, he fights his way over a screen and then, like, gets rescreened and then gives up or doesn't even try fighting over the first screen. That's the kind of DeMar sucks at defense stuff that is there. The evidence is there. And we did see it on Friday night. So that's when you get those situations where if DeRozan's having a bad night shooting and he's getting cooked on the defensive end, that's where you get those DeMar detractors saying, like, dude, this guy's net rating, especially like a player, is trash because he can't play defense. And, if he doesn't have an efficient scoring night, then he's not a net positive player. Mm-hmm. We saw an example of that on Friday, plain and simple.
That's true. And first of all, DeMar detractors is hilarious. I don't know why. That just sounded awesome in my head. DeMar detractors.
Should we just extend it and call them DeMactors?
DeMactors. There's so many things you can do with this. Like, stay tuned, guys. There's going to be many, many wonderful puns going on with his name. You're right, Matt. But I think for me, you kind of said it within your argument there for with how I feel about it. It's the offense that made the defense look so horrible. I don't expect him to look great on defense. He's never had. Like, I don't expect him to be like, you know what, in my 12th year in the NBA, you know what I'm going to be? I'm going to be better defensively. I don't expect right. that, any stretch of the imagination. I do expect him to score. I expect him to be efficient on the offensive end. And you dead on, Matt. I mean, he was missing some easy shots. It was just an off night. He was missing some really easy shots. And so it looked worse on the defensive end because it's compounded. So you're like, oh, you broke here? All right, let me see if you can stop your man. Oh, you can't do that either? Oh, now we hate you. DeMar DeRozan, mm-hmm. That's how Bulls fans are thinking here. It didn't bother me. It would have bothered me, Matt, if I had to rely on him to be that right. dude. And that's the beauty of this, guys. You don't have to rely on him to be a solid, great defender for the Bulls to win a basketball game. Those days are over with. Now you have other guys who can kind of help, and you put a Band-Aid or some salve on that wound. You know what I'm saying? When the guy gets by you, I still got Lonzo there. I might have Caruso out there. I still got Patrick Williams out there. You know what I mean? Like, Vooch can definitely rotate. He definitely does that. He's a solid defender in that sense. But as far as being concerned about his defense, I'm not concerned. You guys are right, though, as far as, you know, like, oh, see, this is what we're worried about. He's not going to be good defensively. Yeah, you're worried. Well, there you are. You're right. Good job. You know what I was most concerned with? The 6-17 shooting. That's all I cared right. about. Because if he's not right. on, then it really looks bad. Then I'm like, okay, well, now I got to play around you. Now I don't know if I can have you on the court. Because if you ain't going in, I'm like, ah. But you got to have him on the court because he's DeMar DeRozan. You know what I'm saying? So
right.
That's the only issue I had.
I think the other element to that is even if DeRozan is having an off-night shooting, defenses still have to respect him. When you look at the night that Zach LaVine had, 31 points. 9 of those 31 came from where? The free throw line. Fact. For Zach LaVine. Okay. We've talked about maybe Zach getting a little bit more credit and respect from NBA officials this season now that he has that all-star label next to his name. Because it feels like Zach should have been getting 4 or 5 more free throw attempts per night than he did last season, being a 27 points per game score.
Yeah.
But so there's that element to it. The other element to maybe Zach getting a greater opportunity to pour in easy buckets at the free throw line every night at a higher clip is the presence of DeMar DeRozan on the court. So instead of trying to draw fouls when he's getting double teamed because nobody else out there could score a bucket, NBA officials are a lot more hesitant to give a guy a whistle if he is being guarded by two people and trying to force that contact. I don't know why they officiate the game that way, but they do. Mm. As opposed to, if DeMar is out there and Zach is out there and they can't double team Zach because DeMar's presence is on the floor, Zach is going to have greater opportunities to create free throw attempts because he only has to beat one guy and draw a foul off one guy. And I think that is an important difference of how Zach might be an even more efficient offensive weapon this season.
That is a great point, Matt. Oh, wow. That's so articulate. Well said. There is another thing I wanted to get into, but I know we got a break here, so I'll wait.
We do.
So let me do that, and then I'll get into it.
Good luck, Big Dave. You got to do a Built Bar read right now. I'm sorry, people. It's still on the schedule. We thought it would be over with after our show with Zach Guilford on Friday, who did the best Built Bar read of all time.
Didn't
see our listen to our episode from last Friday with Zach Guilford, go listen to it. And especially listen to his Built Bar read because it was fantastic. But here we are again, Dave.
Yeah,
sorry, Zach.
First of all, you heard what he said. Zach Guilford did an ad read here on this show. All right, Saracen did an ad read and wanted to do it, and it was amazing. All right, that's what Matt just said. Don't gloss over that. That's just what's happened. So I'm gonna try to do it on my thing, you know, because I'm not gonna try to top that because what he did was amazing. And what he talked about that was amazing was those amazing, delicious, tasty, and wonderful Built Bars. You know what it is. You know about those delicious flavors they got. You know about the coconut, the cherry barcia, the raspberry, the mint brownie, the strawberry, the cookies and cream, the German chocolate, on and on and on, okay? And guess what? You get you a variety pack. Because you can get you that mixed box, y'all. So that's where you can get two of each for the 9 flavors, y'all. You get two of each of the 9 flavors. So if you're eating it in that variety pack, you're like, man, that's delicious. I wish I had another one. Oh, guess what? It's another one right there, or that same one, because you get two of each of them, man. It's a beautiful thing. So while you're sitting there eating them and you're pigging out on them, and let's say your lady or your man comes in and says, what are you doing? You know you can't be eating all that candy. All you got to do is tell them this, 17 to 18 grams of protein. Calories ranging from 130 to 180, only 4 or 5 grams of sugar, and only 4 or 5 grams of net carbs. And when they try to take it from you, you say, no, 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 my brother, you got to get your own. All right. So this is what you do. And also, if you order today, y'all, guess what? Let me let you in on the secret. Let me let you in on the secret. The flavor of the week, chocolate dough chunk bar. Oh. Not the cookie dough chunk bar. Yes, the cookie dough chunk bar is back in business, y'all. Oh, so go to built.com. Use that promo code LOCKED15 and you'll get 15% off your order. That's built.com using that promo code LOCKED15. Built Bar, Zach Guilford recommended.
Recommended, despite never having a Built Bar.
Never having one and tasted it, he said, go get it. And he hopes they ship it because he's in Canada, but they don't ship to Canada. So he's trying to get down, Built Bar. He's trying to get down. Hook our guy up.
Yeah. I agree with you, though, Dave. If Built Bar just sends you or I a box, then we can then send it on to Vancouver.
Send
I
mean, it right
how
on.
Hard is that?
I don't find it to be hard at all, but we're going to get them some.
All right, so we do have to make a couple of notes on these roster updates from the weekend, but you said you had one more thought from the preseason game that you wanted to get to, Dave.
Yeah, it was the second thing, my second favorite thing, and it happened in the first quarter. After the Bulls, like, first 5 possessions were just amazing. I believe the score was like 16-8 or 16-10 or something like that, and then Memphis went on that run, and they went on a nice run, you know what I'm saying? And Billy Donovan immediately, you know, calls the timeout. Right out of that timeout, what do they do? The first thing they do, they go down to Vooch, and they say, here you go in the post. Vooch, we need 2 points. Here you go. Here's your 2 points. They go down. They play defense. They get the ball back. What do they do? Little pick and roll. Lonzo, Vooch. 2 more points right there. I was like, this is basketball. This is what you do when you need a bucket. And people wonder where Vooch is going to fit in on this team. You don't remember. This is where you fit in on this team. When you need a bucket, that's what you do in the NBA. You go to your surefire bucket getters. And luckily, the Bulls have a lot of them, but we definitely have one where you can get it in the post. And that is Vooch. And that is first. I'm talking about the first thing, Matt. As soon as they saw the mismatch, here you go, Vooch. Go ahead, get your 2 points. Oh, play this defense. Come on back. Pick and roll. Here you go, Vooch. Get you a layup. Right back on top. Right back doing that thing. All right, now let's start the game again. That's coaching, yeah, ladies and gentlemen. And that was exciting to me to watch that right there.
You mean the guy who finished 10 of 11 from the field inside the 3-point line? That guy? That Vooch?
Yeah. That dude. Yes.
Yeah. That dude. I know he had a couple of off shooting nights in their earlier preseason games, but in their preseason finale, Vooch showed you exactly what he can offer. And especially, you're right, Dave, when the team needs a bucket, as opposed to like, all right, here's an ATO setup for Adam Akoka. Good luck, guys. Like, what? Not, what? No. God, the Bulls are one of the worst ATO teams in the NBA. Mm. Well, you know, like, since, you know, Donovan has taken over. That's where we can hopefully see some improvement. You know who I'm referring to with the god-awful ATOs.
Oh, I know.
Yeah, so a lot of good stuff to think about there. And then one of the other last mention on that preseason game, part of what built the Bulls, that lead, that early 16-8, 16-10 lead, Trailer Patrick Williams confidently stepping into a 3-ball that he buried it. You know, quiet night for Patrick. Played significantly fewer minutes than the rest of the starters because Donovan was easing him back after that ankle injury. But 22 minutes, you know, but I mean, 2 of 3 from behind the 3-point line.
Yeah.
Patrick, all season, baby. Give it to me.
And did you see who got him those 2 buckets? Lonzo Ball. That's who got him those 2 buckets, yo. Drive and kick. It was very simple. I'm driving, and guess who's wide open out here? And what's great is, you know, it takes Pat a while to get his shot off because people were complaining about how he doesn't have a quick release. Well, you don't have to worry about that when nobody's around you. That's what Lonzo Ball makes it simple and easy. And Zach is going to discover that too, because and DeMar is going to discover that too. How much, you know, as soon as those guys collapse, Patrick Williams will just be out there for that rainbow. And look how pretty it looked, man. I mean, it went way up and just splash. It was beautiful, man. So I expect to see a lot more of that during the season, for sure.
Flirting with those, you know, parachutes that come down from the rafters in between quarters. Which none of them fell in my section. I was so excited. I was like, oh, the parachute t-shirt drop. Yes.
I've never gotten
one. None of them fell within 100 feet of me. It was devastating.
In my life. I've never gotten a ball. I've never gotten a shirt. You know how many games I've been to in my life and I've never gotten anything like that? Oh, I got so many stories about heartbreak. I won't even get into it.
And they haven't busted out the t-shirt cannon yet. I don't know if they're going to bring that back, but it was not there on Friday night. Okay. Lastly, we just needed to touch on the roster moves from the weekend. Nothing that's a big surprise, Dave. So they waive Stanley Johnson and Troy Baxter Jr. Troy Baxter Jr. had just been signed by the team like 24 hours prior and then waived. The expectation is that he is going to go to Windy City. But so that means as of now that, you know, obviously Alize Johnson earned a roster spot. It looks like Matt Thomas could be that 15th and final guy.
Yeah.
The Bulls do still have the trade exception from the Daniel Tice move if they wanted to, you know, use that flexibility. And maybe that means that Thomas is not here for the long term. But if there's anything surprising about these weekend roster moves after the final preseason game, it's that Stanley Johnson, a former top 10 NBA lottery pick, didn't make the cut.
Yeah, and it's funny because, like you said, I think we all kind of thought he wouldn't. And we talked about it here when Jamal was here with us. We definitely talked about that. And I kept saying, and he and I, and we all agree, we're like, yeah, we like Stanley, but Matt Thomas has proven and shown that, you know, he should at least have a shot at this, you know what I'm saying, as far as being on this roster, because you need a spot-up shooter. Those are important. And Billy Donovan definitely values shooting. And you're going to need a spot-up knockdown shooter. You know, I know it looks good, Lowry Markkanen. I know it can look good, you know what I'm saying, when you're shooting, but it's got to go in. You got to hit it. And so I'm telling you, when he got that 4-point play, for me, that's when he got himself on the team, when he got that 4-point play right there. But like I said, Matt, like since with Kobe out and, you know, him being out, it's looking like till December, hopefully a little earlier than that. But with him being out for at least a month of the season, you're going to need shooters, you know what I mean? Because they weren't struggling in the wing department. You know, they've definitely got a lock on that. So you're going to have to do something to stand out to get on this roster as far as a wing is concerned, which is, you know, what Alize Johnson did. But as far as, you know, that shooting, that's what you needed more of. You needed a guard that can shoot the basketball. And Matt Thomas, if for nothing else, can shoot that rock.
Yeah. So no big surprise there. The other update is that per Woj, the Bulls are expected to use the other two-way contract on Tyler Cook, who they also added to their training camp roster. Former undrafted prospect out of Iowa. I think he's played for four different NBA teams between 1920 and 2021. Yeah. Cleveland, Denver, Brooklyn, and Detroit. You know, short stints in all four of those teams spanning two seasons. But knowing that the Bulls, you know, if there is a space where they're a little concerned, it's power forward, some depth in that front court. 6'8 Cook, you know, being another body for, you know, being able to play some spot minutes in the front court, you know, if, you know, God forbid, you know, the Bulls are thin because somebody goes down. Makes sense to me. To me, using that other two-way on Tyler Cook is like, yeah, okay, I could see it.
Yeah, I could definitely see it. It's not a bad move. And you you said something that I joyously forgot, which was that they still got that trade exception, which is so crazy. Like, so it's like, it's so smart. like I think that's what's blowing my mind. Like, it's so smart because you can now still go through the season, or at least like half of your season, see what you're doing right, see what you're doing wrong, and see what you're missing. And if you need to add something to it, and now you got a trade exception just sitting there, and you can say, you know what? I need this. I need that. Let's add this to it right here. Let's put this on here right here. You know what? This meal's got a little, it's a little too salty. You know what I mean? We need a little more sauce right there. You know what I'm saying? Let's go take that back. Let's get a little sauce, put it on there. You know, it's missing some parsley. It needs some parsley on top. Now you've got your ingredients, and now you can make the meal. I forgot all about that trade exception, man. The brilliance of what's going on in this organization is mind-blowing, man. I'm so excited. But, yes, Tyler Cook, I think he can play, though. I do think Tyler Cook can play, and I think he'll get that opportunity for sure, man, and along with Stanley Johnson. And I hope those guys stay on for that Windy City Bulls. I really do, because, you know, them bolstering, you know what I'm saying, their G League team, It's good. It's never bad. Right. Like, I got tired of seeing Felicio go down there and do stuff. Like, it's not helping anybody. You know what I mean? So, yeah, it'll be good, man. And shout out to my man Dotson, too. Devin Dotson is becoming a favorite. You know what I'm saying? Just because of how he plays and his heart and everything like that. So, shout out to him as well.
And speaking of, you know, Stanley Johnson not making that roster, other former lottery picks of recent NBA years. In the span of a little over 24 hours, we saw that, who, by the way, disappointed that I didn't get to see him on Friday night, DNP.
I'm sure you are.
I think still dental surgery or whatever. Chris Dunn, waived by the Memphis Grizzlies. And then the very next afternoon, the Boston Celtics waive your man, Jabari Parker.
They both did.
Top five lottery picks.
They did. Both top five lottery picks, and only one of them had, you know, injuries to their knees two straight seasons, but it still have a career in the NBA. So, you know, I'm just going to say that about my man Jabari Parker, who's going to be just fine, because honestly, I expect him to be on another team. So, you know, he's a solid player, Matt. He is. He's solid. But, yeah, shout out to Jabari Parker, man. My man.
I mean, the biggest hometown hero right now is, again, obviously, one Candace Parker. Super happy for her. And the Chicago Sky. Kudos to them again. By the way, we do have a podcast that we call Locked On Women's Basketball here on the Locked On Podcast Network. So if you loved what you saw in these WNBA playoffs, if you're a Sky fan, if you are a new Sky fan, go check out Locked On Women's Basketball here on the Locked On Network. Big Dave, tomorrow night, NBA season debut. We've got a doubleheader, Nets, Bucks, and Warriors, Lakers. Are you ready, my friend?
I am ridiculously excited. I didn't realize how excited I was until I realized it was this close. And you know, when I figured it out, I said, oh, the Bulls game is going to be on a Wednesday. But that doesn't, wait, when does the season start, though? Oh, it starts tomorrow? Oh, my God. My brain said, boosh, you know, and I got so freaking excited. I was so happy. I mean, and it's two great games. You know what I mean? I definitely want to see the Bucks and the Nets. You know, I can't wait to see Giannis. You seen what Giannis been doing in the preseason? Listen, man. Oh, my God. If that's the Giannis you're going to see, wrap up the MVP. You know what I mean? And stop trying to tell me he's not the best player in the league. My God. That is the one. If he's going to be doing that, that's the one. And then you got the Warriors and the Lakers, man. The Warriors, Matt, man, I'm excited to see them because they are finally back at that full strength. And another in a season of James Wiseman has a season under his belt. Everybody's healthy. And the league is only better when Steph Curry and Klay Thompson are there, man. So, and plus, you want to see what the Lakers are going to do. You know what I'm saying? With the old school, you know, team, man. Those guys, you know, got some old legs, but they got some talent. They got a lot of talent, bro, for real. So it's going to be fun to see. You never count out LeBron. You just can't count out LeBron.
I forgot until I was watching some preseason highlights the other night that they also added Melo to that whole mixed bag. That Lakers team, man. It's going to be crazy.
Yeah.
And, really, really hoping we see a healthy Klay Thompson this season, because guess what? Steph Curry reclaimed his throne as the best point guard in the NBA last season. First team All-NBA. Steph Curry is still Steph Curry, and that dude is a highlight show all to himself. So, NBA debut, doubleheader tomorrow night. Bulls first game of the season against the, as our friend Horace would say, straight-up bitches, Detroit Pistons on Wednesday. So stick here on Locked On Bulls on our YouTube channel and all of your podcast platforms all week long. because this is it, y'all. Bull season starts this week. Wow, we are hyped. We know you are too.
Yeah.
Hit us up on that text to voicemail line, 331-979-1369. Email us, lockedonbulls@gmail.com. And you can follow us on the Twitter machine. I'm at Bulls_Peck. Big Dave is at Bow, BAWL Sports. We are at Locked On Bulls. Shout out Candace Parker and the Chicago Sky. Yeah. NBA season has arrived, y'all. For Dave, I'm Matt. See you, Red. Be good. Peace out.
Peace.